Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. I'm so glad, like Pastor said, to be home. I know you've been standing for a long time, so I'm not going to keep you standing too much longer. Got a lot to cover. I'm going to tell you some stories about some things that happened in Bangladesh, some great miracles that happened. But if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Philippians 4. We're going to be reading verses 11 through 13. Philippines for Philippians. When you're there, say amen. Person stand beside you, don't have a Bible, tap them on the shoulder and ask them why they didn't bring your Bible. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. All right. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, a powerful scripture. Everybody read this with me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things. In prayer today, I was instructed, I believe, by God to remind the church our ability, what our potential is. And so I want you to help me pray as I endeavor to preach a message that I've just simply entitled this, Have Confidence in Your Ability. Have confidence in your ability. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Mighty God, Lord, we thank you, dear Jesus, for your sweet touch. We thank you for the presence of God that has already been felt, dear Lord, in this place, for the mighty move of your hand, dear God, that we witnessed this morning, oh God. Lord, I pray, dear Jesus, that it would just be an overflow, oh God, of this morning and Saturday night's prayer that would meet us here tonight, dear God, that you would speak to your church, speak to your people, oh God. Open our ears, our eyes, and our minds, dear God, to your purpose and your plan. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. You may be seated. I said it already, and I'm going to say it again. I am so excited to be in the presence of God because it is here in this house where many incredible things have happened. Lives have been changed. Hearts have been blessed. People with sickness have been completely healed. Cancers have fallen off. We've seen the dead raised. We have seen AIDS healed. We have seen an innumerable amount of miracles happen in this house. And every opportunity that we get to step into this place is another opportunity to witness the miracle-working hand of our God. And because of that, I am full of excitement and anticipation every time I'm in His presence. That's why we shout. That's why we clap our hands. That's why we run the aisles. That's why we rejoice, because we understand that we are in a place here tonight where anything is possible. While I was in Bangladesh, we had the opportunity on one of the slow days to, the pastor came up and he said, how would you like to go ride an elephant? Didn't take long for me to respond with a screaming, yes, absolutely, let's do this thing. And so after about a good hour and a half, 2 hour drive, we had made it to the location where this elephant would be. And we began to walk around this park and look around at the sights and look at the zebras that they had and all these other animals. And the park ranger or whatever, he came up to us, he said, we're running a little bit behind, just wander around and look around and enjoy the sights and we'll be with you in just a few minutes. And so as me and my wife and 30 other young people were walking around enjoying the sights, all of a sudden I saw something over my shoulder and looked, and there's this massive elephant. Brother Sound Man, if you could show the picture of either one, it doesn't matter. There it is. This massive elephant began to walk down the path heading our way. Now, in the picture, you can see me and my wife smiling, but if you could see into our minds, we're terrified because this thing is standing right behind us. One of the first thoughts that came to mind was, this can't be real. I've never been that close to one. You know, you stand at Ashboro Zoo and they're about a mile and a half away and you have to look through the little glasses and there it is, you know. They do that for safety reasons. There's no safety regulations in Bangladesh, evidently. And so they walked them up right behind us. And then a few minutes later, we had the ability to do something absolutely incredible in riding this elephant. There it is. You can see the guy that actually, I guess you could say, drives the elephant sitting in front of me. I was not afraid whatsoever or ashamed whatsoever to wrap my arms around him and hold tight. and didn't let go until we got back. But it was an amazing thing to do. And while we were riding this elephant, the thought kept crossing my mind that this creature is so massive and so huge, so big. How do they get this animal to respond to a simple stick that he has in his hand and respond to his feet movements? The man would move one foot, the elephant would turn. The man would put the stick right in front of his forehead, and the elephant would immediately stop and wait for another command. And I couldn't help myself. After we got off this thing, I went to the man that was driving him or whatever, and I said, I got a question. How do you train these elephants to do this? He said, oh, it's very simple. When they're really, really young, I'm talking just a tiny, tiny little baby elephant, we'll bring them in. We'll capture them. We'll bring them, because they're native to where we were right there. So we bring them in, and we wrap a chain around one of their legs, and we tie the other end of the chain to a tree. And the baby elephant, the first few days, first few weeks, fights that chain with everything that's within him. He pulls on the tree, and he rolls, and he tosses, and he turns, and he tugs, and the chain does not let loose. And then over time, you come back one day, and the baby elephant is just standing there. No more fight left in him. No more fight at all. And then he said, after this ride, I said, well, what are you going to do with this elephant when we're done with this ride? He said, I'm going to take him back to the same tree and tie him up with the same chain around his leg. Immediately when I heard that, I heard as though the voice of God speak to me and begin to tell me that his people find themselves sometimes at an early age being defeated. We find ourselves at an early time in life, or maybe once or twice, you know, the enemy comes our way and he attacks us, and then we think, oh my goodness, I can't do anything about this. I can't get through this. I can't get over this. I can't get around this. And then as we continue to grow in Christ, we still in the back of our minds believe that we can't get over that hurdle in our life, and we are just stuck where we have been placed. If you've ever seen a circus elephant, you walk in, just before you go inside the tent, they have the elephants out in the parking lot. And it's an interesting thing to see. I looked it up today. They tie the elephant off with a chain around his leg to a stake in the ground. A small stake stuck in the ground. And the elephant doesn't move. Children come up, they mock it, they play with it, they taunt it, but they don't get too close to it. But they stay in what they believe to be a safe distance away. No chain, no or cover it, no fence in front of it, no pit that they're looking down into. But this thing is just standing there in the parking lot with full ability to be able to all of a sudden say, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore, and be able to rip the chain out of the ground, rip the stake, begin to tear up concrete, bust through the tent, and kill anybody in its sight. But yet, in its mind, there's a sense of defeat from when it was so young. Romans 12, 1 through 3, as we've already read, and we're going to read Philippians 4, 11 through 13. We're going to read verse 13 one more time, Brother Salman, if you could bring it up. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Brother Salman, I'm going to throw a fast one on you. I know I didn't give you the scripture, but Romans 12, we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3 here in the next few minutes. Romans 12, 1 through 3. You know what the scripture is about to say. I'm going to explain it to you here in just a minute, but there's a reason why they don't capture and try to tame adult elephants. It's because at that age, they already understand the potential that they have. They already understand the ability that they have to be able to tear through anything that might try to capture them, or anything that might try to stop them or slow them down. And so there's a reason why we stand far away from the wild ones, and we look at them and we say, wow, what a magnificent creature. What a strong animal. I don't want to get too close to it, but look at it. Look how powerful it is. But yet the ones that were captured when they're small were not afraid to get too close because of their mindset. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3 says this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Next scripture. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then it goes to verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according, and here it is, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Everybody say, the measure. The measure of faith. You see, what the scripture does is it destroys the silver spoon thought process. It destroys the thought process of that person is where they are right now because they were gifted and they were blessed when they were a child. That person is where they are right now because they have family that has been in the house of God for generations upon generations. And that's why they do what they do. That's why they're blessed the way they're blessed. That's why they dress the way they dress and they drive what they have. It's because of what was dealt to them. That completely destroys the silver spoon and mouth mentality. Because every man has been dealt a measure of faith. When I was born, I had two legs, two arms, two eyes, two ears, a nose, and a mouth. When you were born, you had the same. When God delivered us, He gave us the same. When God filled us with His Spirit, we have the same. When we were baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, we had the same. When that elephant was born, he knew that he was going to grow to the same size of the ones that were free. When you were born, God gave you the measure of faith that it took to be whatever you want to be. But the only thing that can stop a child of God is his mindset. Do you think that these elephants, when they're grown and they're tied up, just right there, just like that chain is around that elephant's leg, do you think they look at the wild ones and they say, oh my goodness, they're just so blessed. I can't believe it. They're just so blessed. They're so much stronger than me. They're so much better than me. And that elephant is the very same creature that is walking free. If he only had faith in his ability, he would understand that by one slow motion, he would begin to be free like every other elephant out there. I'm talking to a church today that there are people out in the sanctuary that the enemies had just so tied up in your own mindset of thinking, I've messed up too much. I've been to too many places I shouldn't be. I've talked in a way I shouldn't talk. I've been hanging around the wrong crowd. I've attached myself to relationships that I shouldn't. Now I'm tied up and I could never be free. But if you only had faith in your ability, then you would recognize that if I would just put one foot in front of the other, there's not a devil in hell that can stop me. There's not an enemy out there that can hinder me. I can get back everything that the enemy has stole. You see, we have the honor of living in an equal opportunity world. You can be whatever you want to be. Your future is not determined by your past. Someone needs to hear that right now. I said your future is not determined by your past. Don't come into this house thinking, I've messed up so much that God could never forgive me. I rebuke that thought process right now in the name of Jesus. You can come into this house and hit your knees at this altar and begin to ask God for forgiveness. And before you leave this house, you can be a changed individual. But hear me now. Don't come into this house thinking that I can hide it. I can be a saint of God on Sunday and then a child of the world on Monday. You have got to have the mindset that when I break the chain, I'm not letting the chain get wrapped around my leg again. When I break the bondage, I'm not going back to where the devil took me, but I'm moving forward. You see, I'm talking about a spirit of freedom. I'm talking about a spirit of liberty. Some of you know what I'm talking about. That's why you're standing to your feet and clapping your hands. Because once the enemy had you bound up and you thought, I haven't been able to move this for so many years. Maybe I can't do it now. But somewhere along the way, you begin to call upon the name that's above every other name. And when you did, chains begin to break. Paul and Silas were in prison, but they didn't get satisfied with their situation, and they didn't get down and out because they were captive. They began to sing, and they began to shout. That tells me that they began to move. It's a sad thing to see that something so big, something so mighty, something that never was supposed to be ridden, something that was never supposed to be chained up or tied up, would stand there with such a look of defeat on their mind and such a look of defeat upon their countenance as one simple chain wrapped around their leg. I talk to young people and I travel and I preach in churches and I see young people, and it's not hard to tell the ones that are going through situations to where they think they're defeated. They're the ones that used to sit in the front and then all of a sudden they find themselves in the very back. Why would they do that? Because somewhere along the way they begin to think that there's nothing that I can get that's going to break what the enemy's put on me. But you are in a house here tonight that if you would just simply begin to put one foot in front of the other, you would begin to recognize that the things that once had you tied up, they can't keep you tied up anymore. I'm going to say it till you believe it. The things that used to have you bound up and cast down and felt like you were defeated, they don't have to have you defeated anymore. We had so many mighty miracles and signs and wonders happen while we were in Bangladesh. One of the days I was sick and I wasn't able to be in service, but my wife was there. And she said that the service was ended and people were coming to the altar. People were praying, 17 filled with the Holy Ghost in just one service. And she said a lady came up and nobody there was able to speak our language except for maybe about a handful, five or six or so. And so we were constantly saying, come with me, I need your help. Tori knows what I'm talking about, but I need your help. We got to talk to this person. Just help, tell them what I'm saying. That's all I need you to do. And a lady came up to Amanda, she said, my back. And what she was saying was, pray for me. I'm hurting in my back. Something's wrong in my back. Amanda laid hands upon her, began to call upon the only name that heals, the only name that saves. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the service, the lady found her and she said, my back like this, now it's like this. It was healed in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you right now that there's not a language barrier. There's not a sin. There's not a sickness. There's not a disease. There's not a mindset that can hinder the work of our God. We were in a service. It was the last service we were in, and the place was packed. We were in a sanctuary that was able to accommodate around 100 or so, but there had to have been more than 100, if I'm not mistaken. My wife's nodding, so I'm doing good. And we were in this service, and the altar call was given, and a lady made her way to the front. Nobody pushing her, nobody pulling on her. You see, when a person comes down by themselves, they have the mindset of, I've got to get whatever I need to get, but I know it's here, and I'm not leaving without it. And she made her way down to the front. She got down to the front, and as soon as she got there, people began to surround her. People began to pray for her. They laid hands upon her and they began to call upon the name of God. And you know what happened? Nothing. She made her way down there. She began to pray. People laid hands upon her. All of a sudden, I made my way down there. I reached through the crowd. I laid hands upon her. And you know what happened? Nothing. I stepped back and I just looked at her. I said, something's off. Couldn't help but notice a little red dot sticker right here between her eyes. I turned and looked at the pastor. I said, what does that mean? He said, well, that means she's Hindu. I said, okay, strange question, Pastor. What would happen if I pulled that sticker off? Is the family going to get mad? Are they going to attack me? You know, is this going to get bad? He said, well, I don't know. Why don't you give it a shot? Pastor feels like I need to do it, but he wasn't doing it. So I said, okay, why not? Everybody's around her, everybody's praying for her. And I reached through and I didn't lay hands upon her head, didn't say any mystical thing or nothing. I reached over and I reached between her eyes, grabbed hold of that sticker and ripped it off and threw it down. And as soon as that sticker came off of her head, you know what happened? All of a sudden, tears flooded her face and she began to speak in that heavenly language, and she did not stop in 5 seconds. She didn't stop in 1 minute. She didn't stop in 2 minutes. All of a sudden, young people began to worship and to shout as this lady was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see, we've got to recognize the chains that are in our life, and when you break the chains that are in your life, then all of a sudden God can move in. You see, the only thing that can hinder a move of God is your mind. I believe that this house is going to see a church of 1,000. And I believe that we're not only going to stop at 1,000, but we're going to exceed that in greater numbers. I believe that this house is not the last one that we're going to build. I believe that one day this is just going to become a gym for kids and they'll have fun in here after we've had great church in the next sanctuary. I believe all of these things. Why? Why would you believe that, Brother Carson? Because I have the mindset of revival. And I have the mindset of there's no chain that the enemy can put on us that can stop us.
Sister Frugia here, I'm just reminded of a story that she told us. Sister Frugia here, she's like, okay. Just before we built this sanctuary, she came to us to the old sanctuary and she said, I had a dream, Brother Marshburn. She told Pastor, she said, I had a dream. She said, and in my dream, she said, I saw the church and I saw this chain wrapped around it and it began to squeeze tighter and tighter and tighter. And it just looked like the church was being constricted to the point of death. And then she said, all of a sudden, she said, a shovel came out of heaven. And when it came out of heaven, it struck the chain. And when it struck the chain, it shattered to a million pieces, not the shovel, but the chain. And then she began to see what we are in today. At that time of that dream, this was not here. I'm calling for some dreamers to begin to realize that the chains that once had you bound do not have to have you bound anymore. I'm looking at some people in this house here today, and it almost brings tears to my eyes because I see you. I see your countenance. I see your face. I see your worship. I see your prayers, and I see something that's so mighty, something that's so powerful, something that can tear down every obstacle, something that can defeat every devil, something that can destroy every evil thought, and I see you bound by a small chain. I see you bound by a small chain. In your mind, you think your world has been completely altered. In your mind, you think that there's nowhere you can go. There's no place you can be safe. There's no way you could ever get your joy back. There's no way that you could... I see you. I feel your spirit in here right now. And I hear your cry even though you're not moving. I hear your spirit crying out right now saying, Brother Carson, this chain's tight and it's been there for quite some time now. The devil just placed it on me, or the devil's had it there for quite some time. I've grown accustomed to my limitations, but I need someone to recognize here in this place that there are no limitations when it comes to our God. Because when we reach our limit, we give it to a limitless God. All you gotta do, honey, is begin to put one foot in front of the other. And when you begin to worship God, when you begin to move, things have got to break. It blew my mind. It absolutely blew my mind. I always wondered, but I never realized what held these giant animals back. And the funny thing was that it only took one leg. Not four. They didn't have to tie it off. They didn't have to put a collar around it. They didn't have to even put it in a cage. They literally stopped it. One chain, one leg. And in that elephant's mind, his whole world was stopped. All the power, all the strength, all the ability stopped, halted, hindered. You see, if you would just think right now, and I'm speaking to someone in the Holy Ghost, I believe, if you would just begin to think right now, the whole world that you think is crashing down on you isn't the whole world. It's just one situation. You see, it's just one situation that is just simply waiting on an altered mindset. Do you know what can happen when a person just all of a sudden says, you know what, I used to think this way, but now I'm going to think this way? Let me give you some examples. Moses went from living the high life, all of a sudden killing one of the Egyptians. Then he flees to the wilderness and he hides in the desert and he stays there for years upon years and he's trembling. It's like a little kid, just like a little child. He's trembling. He's terrified. He's worried that he's going to die because of what he had done. The one thing that he had done, and he's absolutely petrified and terrified. But yet through all of that, God had a plan for him. God had a plan for him to deliver all of those people out of Egypt. He had a plan for him to walk up next to the water and for it to divide. He had a plan for them to hit a rock and all of a sudden water flow from him. He had a plan for him to see food fall from heaven. He had a plan. But do you think that in the process of all the situations that he faced, do you think that Moses thought that there was a plan? Or do you think that he just thought that there was a time of fear? Do you think that he thought, it's done, it's finished, it's over, this is who I am now, I'm a shepherd? Joseph, come on now.
It don't get any more difficult than that boy went through. His family threw him into a pit. His brothers threw him into a pit. And then they take his coat back after they placed blood upon it. And they said, your son, he's died. He's been eaten by a beast. He's been eaten and he's gone. He's dead. He's not going to return anymore. Then they sell him into slavery. He goes from slavery. He goes from the pit. And then futuristically, he goes into the palace. But do you think that in the process of him in the pit, do you think that he thought, wow, it's done. Can't get any better than this. You see, in his mind, he thought this is as good as it can get when he was living in his father's house. He thought this is the greatest thing. I've got a brand new coat. This is shiny. I'm having dreams and I'm telling my brothers about it that one day they're going to bow down before me. That doesn't get any better than this. And then all of a sudden into the pit. You see, sometimes the situations that you go through, let me turn this table just a little bit. Sometimes the situations that you go through are not even the devil. Sometimes it's God preparing you for a better place. But you see, you can't just walk from one high life to the next high life. Sometimes you've got to go through a pit before you can make your way to the palace. But you see, the devil is in the pit. My God can get you through the pit. God's waiting for you at the palace. You've got to get out of your pit of despair. And you've got to get out of your pit of mindset. You've got to get out of your pit of sorrow. You've got to get out of your pit of doubt. I wish somebody would hear me right now. You've got to get out of your pit of addiction and affliction. And why me? And why this? And why that? Why pity me? Pity me. You've got to get out of that mess. And you've got to walk. But too many times, people get to the pit and they think this is as good as it gets. The highlight of this creature's life was for that chain to be taken off and then prodded with a stick to walk children around on his back until he got the chain back. Some of you are looking at life and you're thinking, wow, I'm in the high life of it right now. I'm living it, buddy. This is great. This is wonderful. But you haven't begun to see what God wants to do for you. You haven't begun to see the places that God wants to take you, the blessings that He wants to pour out upon you. But the only thing that can hinder what God wants to do in your life, yes, I'm saying something that can hinder God, it is your mind. Because from the very beginning of time when Adam and Eve were created, He placed a tree in the middle of the garden. Why did He put that there? Because He wanted to give us choice. You have a choice. You can serve or you can choose not to. You can eat of the forbidden things or you can walk around it and live in what God desires you to live in. But from the beginning of time, you've got choice and it hasn't stopped now. Now your choice is going to be this tonight. Either you can stay in your confined place. You can stay chained to the trees of addiction and affliction and sorrow and pity and worry and doubt and hindrances. And do I need to go on? Or is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Or in the next few minutes, you can get up and you can say, you know what? Today is the day of salvation, and I am placing one foot in front of the other, and I'm going to make heaven my home, and I'm tired of the pit. You see, we've got one already tonight that's going to be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. That's reason right there to rejoice. You know what that tells me? That there's already somebody in this house who has decided, I'm tired of the chains. I'm tired of the bondage. I'm tired of the way I used to be. I'm ready to go to the palace. But all it is a mindset. All it is a thought process. If you would just simply have faith in your ability. Hear me now. Faith in your ability. So I just wonder right now, as the musicians are making their way on up, let's all stand all around this house. Every great story in the Word of God, every great thing that was ever accomplished, every mighty and wonderful work of God that was ever accomplished in the Word of God first started out with a mindset. We all know the story of David. He went to the battlefield and he said, is there not a cause? That was his mindset. There's always a cause. Samson, he got into a place to where he thought, I could never get free from this. He got all the way to the point to where he was blinded. They were making fun of him. They were poking and prodding him and laughing at him. And all of a sudden he said, God, just one more victory, please. Just one more victory. You know what happened? All of a sudden, he got from the mindset of saying, you know what? I wasn't in the best places that I thought I was. Even when I slew all of those Philistines, it wasn't the place that God truly wanted to intend or take me. I wasn't there yet. And so along the way, I fooled around just a little bit, got messed up, and now I'm in this place. God, can you take this chain off of me? And then all of a sudden, a lad comes up, places his hands upon the pillars, and he destroyed more Philistines that day than he did in his entire life.
There's somebody in this house here tonight that you're just tired of being bound up, tired of being tied up, tired of just being accustomed or comfortable or satisfied with the usual. You want to see that seat beside you filled. You want to see your mom or your dad, or you want to see a family member or coworker in this house. And so you know what you're willing to do. You're telling yourself already, I'm willing to break every chain. I'm willing to break every mindset. And you know what? I'm going to have that mindset of can do. It's going to happen. I'm going to teach more Bible studies this year than I've ever taught. How do I know? Because I already know I'm going to go find them. I'm going to pass out more flyers, more tracts than I've ever done. Why do I know that? Because I've done told myself it's going to happen. As soon as service is over, I'm going to find somebody, and I'm going to find Brother Yance. I'm going to get a Bible study. I'm going to get some tracts, and I'm going to go pass them out. I'm going to pick up my phone, and I'm going to call that person that I hadn't seen for quite some time, and I'm going to ask them, where you been? Get here. We can't have church without you, and they're going to get here. That's how it works. But we got to have that can-do mentality. This morning, what an incredible move of God we had. We were challenged by our pastor. And as soon as we walked out of this place, all of a sudden, you could just feel a surge of electricity as all of a sudden, every single chain of God, every single child of God was challenged to cause revival in Lexington. Now, what I'm wanting someone to do is I'm wanting someone to break past your own pity party and your own self-problems and be willing to go out there to help somebody else. Because when they get here, we need to be able to reach them. And if we're constantly having to pray you back through to the Holy Ghost, then it's going to be hindered what God wants to do for those that are hurting and lost. We need you prayed up. We need you revival minded. We need you ready to lay hands upon the sick, and not only lay hands upon them, but watch them recover. So tonight's the night. Tonight is the time. Right now is the chance. I feel the very same Spirit of God that I felt on that last day in Bangladesh. I feel the very same presence of God that's in here to break every chain of bondage, every sickness, every disease, and it's just simply ready to do this. Prepare His people. So I wonder this right now. I'm not going to say really anything else except for this. Have faith in your ability. These altars are open now. But it's not waiting for somebody to grab somebody else and say, come with me. It's waiting for someone to simply say, hey, you know what? That's for me. I need that. I'm going to get there. And they're going to make their way down to the front. And when they do, all of a sudden, something's going to come over top of you. And you are going to begin to break those fears that you've been going through. You're going to break those chains of bondage. And when you leave this place, you will be changed. When you get down here, this is what I want you to do. I want you to raise your hands to heaven, and I want you to begin to call upon God. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, I want you to release your tongue and let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Now, after that chain has been broken, this is what I want you to do. I want you to act as though the chain is broken and begin to shout, begin to rejoice, begin to worship, because His presence is here right now. Come on, lift your voice.
But it's not too deep. The battle is rough, but I'm not too weak. And I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. The road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy is near, but it's not too strong. And I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back.
I won't turn back. know.
I will not fear. Woo. For the Lord,
yeah.
He is near.
Yeah.
And his angels,
yeah.
All around me.
Holy Ghost.
The mountain is high, but it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but I'm not too weak. I won't turn back.
No.
I won't turn back.
Hallelujah.
The road is hot, but it's not too long. The enemy is near, but it's not too strong. And I won't turn back.
God. Mighty God.
And all of me, my battle was controlled.
Yeah.
I will not be alone, for the Lord,
yeah.
Is near.
Yeah.
And his angels
my, my.
All around me. Mountain is high, but it's not too steep. The battle is rough, but I'm not too weak. And
yeah.
And I won't turn back.
clap your hands to the Lord. Praise our God. Praise our God. Confidence in our God. Confidence in ourselves. Confidence in the Spirit. Confidence in our faith. Amen. We don't have time for everything else. We don't have time for anything else. Amen. It is high time. Hallelujah. The Bible says, now is your salvation come closer than it has at any other time. It's close. It's here. It's right here, right now. It's here for others. It's here for everybody. And that's what we're going to do. Make sure they hear it, see it, feel it, sense it, receive it, believe it. We got one to be baptized tonight in Jesus' name. Woo! Well, he brought those miracles back with him from Bangladesh. Hallelujah. Amen. He preached and we needed a monsoon and it came right during the preaching. I thought the roof was going to cave in. Beautiful. Amen. What a day in the Holy Ghost today. Could we just give him praise one more time for being the wonderful God that he is? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Again, to all of our guests, all of our visitors, those that you that drove long distance just to see me and be with your family. Thank you for being here. Praise God. God richly blesses. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Be safe so you can be back for another wonderful service.